Greetings, 91 Weeks Voyagers. I'm glad you're back to continue our deep dive into God's life-giving Word. I'm Pastor Elizabeth Daigle, and I'm privileged to lead us today in our study of Ezekiel, chapters 33 through 45. Over the past few weeks, we've read many chapters chronicling the case God was building against Israel. These chapters have read like a kind of legal argument, things you'd expect to hear in a courtroom. The picture Ezekiel painted was of God, who had called Israel to the stand and put her on trial. The chapters we've read chronicled those charges and established God's right to bring judgment and punishment on the Israelites because of their refusal to repent and return to Him in obedience. Now, we must remember that Israel had been specially chosen to represent God to the world. But that designation as God's chosen people and the promised blessings that accompanied it also came with responsibility. So their outright rejection of God's law was not only offensive, but required a response from God Himself. But even so, in the midst of these sobering chapters of charges, comes a somewhat surprising perspective that we read about in chapter 33 and reveals the true essence of God's loving heart. Ezekiel 33:11, "Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel?" Here we see that God sounds just like a parent, trying desperately to get through to a defiant teen whose rebellion, rather than ushering in the longed-for freedom, will bring bondage and ultimately self-destruction. And the tragedy is, what a parent can see clearly, a child cannot, and remains deaf to the admonitions of a loving parent. And if you've ever tried to get through to a rebellious kid, then you know a little of how God must feel with us. Just as your heart breaks for your child, so God's heart breaks for those who reject Him. But gratefully, God did not leave the Israelites without hope, and chapter 34 introduces a beautiful picture of a restored relationship. After beginning with an indictment of the earthly under-shepherds who were charged to care for Israel and represent His ways to them, God made an amazing revelation and announced that He Himself would step in and become the shepherd of the nation Israel. I'm reading beginning at chapter 34, 11 and 12. "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness." And then verse 15 and 16. "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost sheep and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Do you hear echoes of Psalm 23 here, or John chapter 10 in the New Testament, where Jesus applied this title of the Good Shepherd to Himself? God promised to come and be Israel's shepherd, and Jesus embraced this role and promised an abundant life to any and all who will follow Him. But just as with ancient Israel, the covenant blessings come with obligations. We must follow Jesus. And that means we must obey. But the only way for us to do that is with a new heart. And so Ezekiel continues to promise a renewed heart for those who will follow after him. Listen to these promises from chapter 36, verses 24 through 29. "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you." These beautiful promises of renewal and restoration weren't offered because Israel earned them. They were a result of God's amazing gift of grace. And so it is for us. The New Testament confirms that we too need a new heart of flesh to replace our heart of stone, so that we can respond to God. And that will only happen as we respond to the drawing influence of the Holy Spirit. John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." And then Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." So for those who have responded to God's work of grace in our lives, how now do we guard against a dull and hardened heart? How do we nurture the heart of flesh that God transplanted within us and continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him? Well, it begins first by remembering the source, the giver of this great gift. Second, we must keep our confessions current. 1 John 1:9 promises, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Third, we must nurture our relationship with Jesus. This new heart we were given can be hardened by sin, carelessness, and worldliness. So we must stay in the Word and on our knees. Commit to time alone with the Lord. Learn to listen for Him. And when you hear Him, follow. Remember the admonition of 1 Peter 5:8. "Be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." These are difficult days, and so we must have our guard up, watching for the enemy's schemes. He delights in picking off the easy targets, the weak ones who are lingering in the back, the ones who separate themselves from the larger part of the herd. And so, brothers and sisters, let's be careful to stay in fellowship. Even though we're challenged right now with the restrictions in place, we can still make phone calls and text and make arrangements to meet and keep our distance so that we might not fall away from the fellowship that will keep us in communion with each other and then with the Lord. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13 says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Allow me to pray for us all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the injection of truth it can be in our hearts if we will only receive it. And so now I pray by the ministry of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to each one of us, draw us closer, soften our hearts so that we may truly follow and live out the abundant life you have offered. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and pray in your name. Amen.